All right, so we'll convene the meeting. So people on the phone, do you want to just say your names?
Hi, Phil's here, Phil Steinmeier.
And Carrie Tudis here. And this is Kim Eaney with Morgan Lewis.
Great, okay, and then should we just go around the room? All right, I'm Sarah Ward, Director of Operations.
Ellie Haskenfeld, Co-Executive Director.
I'm Tom Rutledge, Board Member.
I'm Holden, Co-Executive Director for now.
Bridget Slutka, on the board.
I'm Julia Wise, on the board.
Rob Reich, on the board.
And Tim Ogden, board.
And Celia Brody, Morgan Lewis.
Tim, is Alexander joining at a particular point, or?
You were the one who invited him, so I just saw him right outside. I can.
Yeah, that would be fine. Or I could get him if you want.
Yes. Hello.
Yep.
We just did roll call, so do you want to add your...
Here. Jacobson.
And...
Alexander Berger.
All right. That's everybody. We can go ahead and get started. So we've got a packed agenda today. I'm hoping we can get through all of it. And now to the excess
now
assets
to the excess
policy,
assets policy.
Amendment.
That's attachment K, and the basics here, and there has, you know, Ellie and I have had some conversation about the original version of this. I'm not sure what everybody saw at different points of the version of this. I think what's in your attachment is a slightly modified version than what was originally proposed, but I honestly don't know whether that original version went to anybody or not. But the idea here is that the current excess assets policy binds our hands at each budget meeting to grant out, to irrevocably earmark any grant or any excess assets above our 1 year expected.
Oh, it's not 1 year.
Yes, anyway, 12 month forward expected operating expenses. Because this has been a point of confusion at various points, which I do feel compelled to point out, it does not require us to grant them at that point. It requires us to irrevocably earmark them for granting because we may not see that there are charities with need for that. That seems unlikely, but just to be clear, it doesn't require us to grant them on that date, but just to earmark them for granting.
I thought it also doesn't require you to decide who they're earmarked for. So
that's
true. I thought the idea is these funds have to be granted to someone else. They can't be used for our operations. We still have as much time as we want to decide where they're going.
That's true.
Right, but that's what I thought I was saying, but yes.
Okay. And then it's also not just 12 months out. We project expenses, revenues out over the course of the next year for 12 months out at every point in that year. And if we have excess of what we'll need to meet our expenses at any point in that year, then we grant that out. Does that make sense?
It's a little complicated, but
yeah.
it's in writing. It's in the attachment.
Yeah.
And so the subcommittee, as you were debating this, and the possibility of receiving a large amount of funds quite close to when the next time we were going to be voting on a budget, was concerned that this was material enough of a transaction that we should be able to take our time to make sure that we feel confident about what those future needs of GiveWell might be before having our hands irrevocably bound. And so the intent of this change in policy is to not be forced into making policy changes right before they come into place, and to recognize that occasionally something large and materially different from our normal process happens, and that we should be able to delay for some period of time to make sure that we have full confidence in those projections. That doesn't prevent us at any time of going ahead and earmarking them. If we do have confidence in those, it just doesn't force us to earmark them when we haven't had time to fully achieve consensus and confidence in those forecasts. That's the extent of my comments about the proposed change to the excess assets policy. Any questions about that?
Okay.
Are you, well...
So the, yeah, so the resolution, I think I took my paper back. You know, so what this allows us to do is that in an extraordinary situation, then the sale of assets may be considered up to 1 year later. So we can punt the decision from, if we need to, June 2017, in the event that we see ourselves as having excess assets then, till June 2018. We would, our hands still would be bound June 2018 to follow the policy, but we give ourselves a little more breathing room when there's this sort of extraordinary event. So this sounds like a good resolution from my perspective. We should pass.
Okay. I mean, I talked to Ellie a little bit about this before. I guess it's been changed. I'll register. I don't feel strongly. I'm not going to fight about this, but I'll register. This does not seem really in the spirit of the policy still to me, and I may have missed some subtlety about what changed. But I think I think
the thing just that you're missing is you know, we're going to have a board meeting on June 6th.
Uh-huh.
That's our annual budget meeting.
Yeah.
And the policy ties us to deciding at the budget meeting whether or not we have excess assets.
Yeah.
And so the situation that we're trying to avoid is one where all of a sudden we have excess assets, or we find out how much excess assets we'll have on May 15th.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to prepare a budget that we've been thoughtful about before granting them out.
So the thing that I would generally like think is the right solution to this kind of problem would be a policy to like always give ourselves enough time or something. Like it's like when we notice we have excess assets, then we have like 2 months to make sure or something like that. I'm like thinking on the spot, so I may not have it right. But like to me, the like special nature of the transaction is not really, I don't really understand why that's so relevant. I think that like what we're trying to do, it doesn't matter how the money comes in. What matters is whether the money's more than we need, and if it is, we should give it out, and we should do it without delay. And so I feel like some provision to, like, always be able to make sure we know that it's too much is good, but I think the special transaction, I don't really understand, but that doesn't need to be a big thing.
How many times in the past has the exit assets policy been triggered?
Once.
Once?
As far as I know.
And how much money was it?
$15,000. It was in 2008.
Yeah, so... Holden, that seems to me the reason right there.
Well, I mean, the point that Holden, I mean, the point that Holden's making is that we could, the same thing could happen through, without a special circumstance of an, like a, whatever we've used in the resolution language, someone could just write us a check for $10 million. That would not be, like, the, anyhow, that could happen.
We just have a bunch of revenue in December from a bunch of sources.
Well, the way we've scheduled everything, we've given ourselves, we've built in time from that. But, you know, you could just have, and so that you would want the resolution to cover that situation as well.
Yeah, and something just seems like I guess the spirit of the policy to me is that, like, when there's too much money, it should be earmarked without delay. And so there's something kind of strange about, like, it's never been triggered, and now, oh, got triggered, let's give ourselves, like, a whole extra year or something. I don't know.
Well, I think this just seems like splitting hairs over the actual timeline. Like, I think the bigger issue is that you definitely don't want to redo the resolution too many times. So now I can't find the exact language.
Yeah, and
I'm
trying to think of a redo that kind of, like, has the spirit of, like, let's do our analysis, not the spirit of, like, let's hesitate when this actually happened.
Well, what if we just change what it says, unrestricted assets arising from an unexpected or extraordinary receipt of revenue transaction is specific, and then it's followed by sale of assets. You want the resolution to cover the possibility of a $5 million.
Well, so it should cover that, and I think Holden is also arguing for a shorter time period than a full year, though I don't think that just doesn't seem like an important change.
It is up to a year. I mean, we could do it sooner.
So I think the way that I would do this, if it were me, is I would say instead of assess the level of people's excess assets, or I would say assess the level, I would give an option to be like, if there's some reason the assessment is complicated and time-consuming because, like, there's new information, then the assessment can be postponed. But as soon as the assessment is done, those funds have to be earmarked. And it can be postponed, like, a certain amount of time, like a year seems long to me or whatever. I don't know. That's what seems conceptually, like, to address the issue to me. It's about assessment. It's not about, like, the amount of money.
Yeah, I think determining if it's complicated and or not might be kind of, I don't know, just it's fuzzier.
Yeah. There's two things that bother me just a little bit about this proposed change. One is the use of unrestricted assets may be considered, the word considered, up to 1 year. I would almost say, playing lawyer here, that it would be maybe excluded from consideration under the excess assets, because you don't want to consider it is vague there. And then up to 1 year, the only problem with the 1 year there is if this sale closes, let's say, May 15th or May 1st, let's say it closes on May 1st, and we do our budget meetings typically in June, then that means, to my reading of it under this language currently, that by no later than May 1st, 2018, we'd have to determine whether that money was actually excess assets and granted out or whatever. But it would seem the more logical time frame in 2018 to be doing that would be in the course of the budget cycle. So I would almost say at the next budget cycle, which would be in that case 13 and a half months later rather than 12 months later. So I'm not sure, I don't know if I want to write the language, you know, out loud here, but I think it could create a little bit of a problem there, that we'd have to sort of May 1st, before the budget was prepared, May 1st, 2018, say, okay, we've got a lot of money, what are we going to do with it? And then 6 weeks later, you're considering the budget, and it just seems the logical thing is to marry the two.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is in many ways the opposite of what Holden is suggesting, because it almost then says that we will hold those assets for longer, as opposed to
Well, you're setting a deadline. You can certainly do it. You can certainly do something with the assets sooner. I mean, you could do something with the assets, you know, June 6th of this year. We could say, you know what, we got all this money 3 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, let's give it out. But I think you want to give yourself a little bit of flexibility in there. I mean, the whole point of this change in the first place is to provide us a little bit of flexibility, and if we're going to do that, and if we're going to go through the hassle of changing the policy, we should change it in a way that gives us the flexibility in a way that works, you know, from how the board of directors is meeting and approving the budget process for next year. It just seems like you're almost setting a double budget deadline for 2018, assuming this all goes through on timelines we're contemplating.
And honestly, I don't have an issue with that. I think the purpose of the policy in the first place was to remove flexibility, because this is often a problem in many nonprofits, is they have so much flexibility that they end up holding on to stuff because they can. And I don't have a problem with the up to a year, but I do very much appreciate the spirit of the thing, which is, no, we're constraining ourselves in important ways, that we're not going to allow this thing to happen, and if that requires us to have two board meetings and to accelerate our budget process for that year, then that's actually a good thing, not a bad thing.
I mean, that's the alternative, is to do the budgeting next year, you know, no later than May 1st or whatever the date is, less than 12 months after this transaction closes. I don't know how that, what operational problems that might create on the side of those doing the planning on the GiveWell side.
I mean, Ellie, do you perceive there's a operational challenge of getting through that would change the way we sort of...
I don't think so. I mean, I think
operate.
We're probably going to be ready to vote in June this year regardless, but I mean, I don't think this will be an operational hurdle if we have to change the meeting time next year.
I'm wondering if the board could just at the next meeting, if we're not ready, just be like, our assessment is that we aren't sure if we're over our excess assets because it's a confusing financial situation. We will like figure this out by September, and then like we wouldn't need an amendment or something.
I mean, the reason I wanted to avoid that, Holden, is that to me feels more not in keeping with the spirit of the policy than it does to have a, hey, we've contemplated this possibility and we're giving ourselves this unusual flexibility in certain circumstances, than allowing ourselves to get out of it right at the moment that it's going to hit. As you have the same sort of thing that you were.
I see.
Yeah.
And that's why
I
prefer
like
something
the,
like this rather than waiting until it's exactly when it's going to hit to free ourselves of the way we've tied our hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my recommendation here would just be to strike the... Well,
so
I don't think it actually changes, because it says an extraordinary transaction. Which
I think this is a fair point.
Blessed.
I mean, the fact if we receive a 10, we have not been budgeting for GiveWell alone over the last few years. And so if 2 years from now we get a huge donation on May 31st, our budget process will handle that well, and we will trigger the excess assets policy. It's not going to fundamentally change our budgeting. So I think this is like a reasonably narrow case that this seems like the narrow amendment to make.
Yep.
Okay.
So,
all right. So,
we'll move to vote on the amendment. It's an amendment, right? Yeah.
So I move to approve attachment K, the amendment of the excess assets policy.
Seconded.
Voice vote. Tom approves.
Ellie approves.
Jake approves.
Tim approves.
Rob approves.
Julia approves.
Bridget approves.
Holden approves.
Phil
approves. Oh, sorry. Phil approves.
Carrie, you said you approved, right? I thought I heard that.
Yes.
Okay, great. All right. Great. Next up, this is changing the threshold for requiring board approval of expenses. So currently, our bylaws require the board to approve any expense of $25,000 or more. It just says that. It doesn't say, like, you know, a single expense or an expense over a certain time horizon or anything like that. We run into a few issues with this, just logistical issues with getting 11 people to respond in writing to approve every expense that is over $25,000. We've kind of erred on the side of being conservative and asking for your approval even when an expense, you know, accumulates to it, or we expect it to be $25,000 over the course of a year, a calendar year. So a lot of expenses fall in that category. So we talked to Celia about this, and she suggested that, you know, a pretty common approach is to require board approval for expenditures that are not in the normal course of business instead of having a specific dollar amount. So, you know, maybe, I don't know if you want to speak a little bit to...
What about this creating more confusion on our end about when we're supposed to ask for
what's
board approval
and
what's not
ordinary.
If
part of the problem from Gibble's perspective is this need to get all the board to respond to an email in a timely way, since we're going to consider next the creation of an audit committee, what if something like raise the threshold somehow and then just require the approval of one person on the audit committee to delegate it by the board to approve it? A large transaction. Would that be from Gibwell's operational standpoint?
I think we should get, I mean, do you have, Sarah, do you know, like, what the purpose is of us getting expenses approved from the board outside of the normal budgeting process? The board, you know, the board approves our annual budget. We then show you our previous budget. And, you know, so what value are we gaining?
So, my understanding of this is that, you know, as long as it's sort of budgeted for, then that's in the normal course of business. And we should be able to spend that money without getting extra approval for specific things that have been budgeted for.
That's what I was thinking was the key distinction.
Yeah, I'd be happier with something that said unbudgeted expenses of more than $50,000 even. When we originally wrote this, like, Gibwell was a much smaller operation, so $25,000 was a lot of money, and now it seems like, that's just not that much money. But I think it would help with the clarity if it just said unbudgeted, and then put a dollar figure on that, and that way there's no confusion on anybody's part about what counts.
Sure.
Because the budget is a reflection of the vision of the organization, and so annually when we approve the budget, it's a way for us to be approving of the vision. And if suddenly the vision expands in this, if we get this $5 million, you know, and suddenly it's like, let's hire all these new staff people and the vision changes, then I do think that's worth a board discussion. So the unbudgeted, I feel like I'm just adding on to what you're saying, that it's the unbudgeted piece that's key that you would want to jump on right away versus wait until the next annual budget review.
So, I recommend that we adopt the policy change rather than what's...
An unbudgeted expense of more than $50,000.
Can we say, like, I mean, I would say $100,000. Just, like, the number of things that come up that are more than $50,000, that's going to be, like, 9 out of 10 of the cases are going to be between $50,000 and $100,000.
You know, why would they not be reflected in the budget, then?
So, I mean, the best examples from this past year are in between the time when we did the budget in June and we redid
and we're about to redo it this June. We hired a new HR firm. We hired a new accounting firm. Those were all kind of taking us up to the next level of operational capacity as an organization. They were very much consistent with the mindset that we had when we set the budget. They weren't something big and new, but they were each lump sum expenses that were above $25,000. And so we had a case where it was going to be extraordinarily unlikely that Sarah was going to send an email. So I went through this big process to identify a new accounting firm, and the cost of that will be X. And then the board would say, don't spend this, this amount. And so it's a case where, the reason it was not budgeted for was just that we had changed as an organization since we did the budgeting process.
I would propose maybe thinking about it as a percentage of the budget, because I think that's really what's going on here. And and I would also propose maybe a different, I like the idea of having an audit committee or something. Because, I can imagine for that kind of thing, we could have checked with three people. It would have been a little silly to have a vote with everyone.
I'll give you one other example, which, depending on how we pass this resolution, I would like to get board approval on, which is we want to spend about $70,000 on podcast advertising with Vox during giving season. And this is something that in a short period has been successful for us, so it's worth doing more. That is not something that we budgeted for in the previous time, and I think the question is, is that the sort of thing that that you want to weigh in on as a board, or you want to say, this is, some small percentage of the GiveWell budget, you have discretion about how to move forward. There are business problems with delay. So, their inventory, shockingly, is we already lost one of the dates because we haven't moved fast enough to take one of their giving season dates. And so delaying even as much as a week could cause us to not be able to take the step that we want to take.
And we need unanimous. We could delegate maybe to a smaller group of people, but as it stands,
I think it doesn't need to be unanimous.
Oh, right. I meant for approving individual expenses.
Right, that's right.
Can we delegate that to a smaller group?
Yes, you
for
could.
Future
mm-hmm.
approval?
Mm-hmm.
So, what I hear is us moving consensus towards a percentage of the budget and a smaller committee being required to either approve or refer it to the full board, which would still be an option that committee could take to, so to your point, Bridget, is at what point do we need it? Some of that committee, the option for that committee is not just approve or reject. It's no, you need to take this to the full board to get approval to.
Can I get a clarification? Your percentage of the budget, is that a percentage of the budget on an unbudgeted item?
Right.
Okay.
So it's unbudgeted items, and the threshold that requires it is, that being said, I have no perspective on what that percentage of the budget should be.
What's the budget?
We're not going to know it easily off the top of our heads. It's in the range of $2 million. Say roughly $2 million, and so $100,000 is roughly 5% of the budget. So I would say 5%, and then it's, we need to have that, and I think we'd go off of whatever the projected 12 months expenses as decided at the previous board meeting, because at least that will be a number that we can point to that we'll all have agreed on.
You want to have any member of the audit committee be able to approve that?
There are three of us on the audit committee,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy to require the three.
For things that are over 5%.
So I think we've translated into spending more than $60,000 of the budget on an unbudgeted item. That's what it is for this year. Is that right?
That is what it is.
Because you used a higher number. You used $70,000 for the podcast.
So we're going to have to vote on that,
yeah.
So we can send them later today.
I guess.
But it's going to be $60,000. It's 3% of the previously board-approved 12-month forward expenses for the organization, or the budget year expenses. And then we don't have a figure like that for GiveWell right now, because in the previous year, open philanthropy was part of it. We would have a number, but it would be a very high number. It would be around $5 million. And so I think we should just set that at $60,000 until the June 6th board meeting.
What can we just have it go into effect on June 6th?
And sure.
Is there anything other than this podcast thing that we need to vote on? And that
no,
might,
but you might, it might create a problem. I mean, I think it's actually, it's slightly better to have the 60, to not have to have another vote on an expense above $25,000 before the June 6th meeting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's.
Okay.
$60,000 until June 6th, and thereafter 3% of the budget.
Okay.
Tom approves.
Ellie approves.
Jake approves.
Tim approves.
Rob approves.
Julia approves.
Bridget approves.
Holden approves.
Okay.
Bill approves.
Carrie approves.
So can we then just do a vote on this podcast thing?
Yes. Yes.
And I would, I think you should approve up to $100,000 on ads on these podcasts. But I'm happy, like, we can also have discussion with that, to the extent that anyone wants about this, but we really do want to get back to Fox, like, as soon as possible.
Is it verbal approval okay, or you need a written
No,
approval?
I think verbal is fine.
Bridget approves.
Julia approves.
Rob approves.
Tim approves.
Jake approves.
Ellie approves.
Bill approves.
Tom approves.
Fulton approves.
Carrie, are you still
Carrie on? Approves.
So I think Carrie has to leave. If I could keep you over a little bit, I'd love to ratify the creation of the audit subcommittee and the strategy subcommittee next. And then we're going to skip the last item on the agenda because Holden wants to keep those documents after all. So yeah, just hopefully this will be quick. So over the summer, we discussed appointing, who was it? I know Tim's on all of the committees. So the audit subcommittee is Bridget, Tim, and Tom. The strategy subcommittee is Julia, Tim, and Tom. And we need to actually, like, formally vote to create those subcommittees and appoint those people to them.
I vote that we create these subcommittees and appoint the named individuals to them.
Seconded.
I move to that, yeah.
At Tom.
On the meetings.